Hi, my name is Neeraj and I work with Microsoft SQL Server Support Team. In this presentation, which is a continuation of Procedure Cache Part 1, in which we covered the basic architecture and inner workings of Procedure Cache, we will look at specifically identifying and troubleshooting common issues related to Procedure Cache. Here, we will build upon the concepts we have learned from part one about the workings of a procedure cache. We will look at several demos, which, among other things, will cover issues related to plan sharing, recompilation, parameterization, how cache lookups work, cache plan reuse, flushing the procedure cache, and common cache-related problems and solutions. Plan sharing is the ability of the different users to reuse the same compiled plan. The most common reason for lack of plan sharing is a lack of schema-qualified table names. This applies to only queries in ad hoc or prepared batches. Queries in stored procedures, triggers, and functions are unambiguous even without schema qualification, because tables referenced by T-SQL object always resolves as if they were being referenced by the user who created the object, though it is a good idea to schema qualify them for clarity. A query that contains schema qualified table names is safe for sharing by different users. And this is indicated by special user ID value of -2 in sys.dmexecplanattributes.dmf. Sometimes the cost of generating a new query plan is less than the cost of sticking with the old plan. State of a typical database is constantly changing, and query plans have to adapt to those changes. Couple of scenarios where a plan recompilation is positive are schema changes to the objects referenced by the query. This involves correctness of the plan. And the second one, statistics on a table referenced by the query have changed. This involves optimality of the plan. In SQL Server, recompile and compile have slightly different meanings. In order for a query compilation event to be considered a recompile, SQL Server must be in the middle of executing a previously compiled plan when it decides to create a new plan. If the decision to generate a new plan is made prior to the start of the query execution, that is considered a compile and not a recompile. It's a subtle distinction, but an important one to remember in order to interpret certain diagnostics correctly. Another important change introduced in SQL Server 2005 is statement-level recompilation. For example, on SQL Server 2000, if your batch contains 100 statements, and even if one statement needs to be recompiled, the entire batch of 100 statements would be recompiled. Starting SQL Server 2005, individual statement alone would be recompiled independently of the other queries in the batch or stored procedure. This feature significantly reduces the cost of recompilation relative to prior versions. Let's now look at parameterization. When a query is parameterized, the cached query plan can be reused across multiple executions, even if the parameter values change. If the query is not explicitly parameterized, in most cases, the cached plan can only be reused for subsequent executions if passed with exact same parameter values. This means that each execution must pay the cost of query compilation. Whether or not a query is parameterized is determined by the application developer. As you see from the slide, different types of applications use different ways to parameterize the queries sent to SQL Server. This is referred to as explicit parameterization. If an application does not explicitly parameterize the queries, SQL Server will, wherever possible, attempt to implicitly parameterize them. There are two flavors to parameterization. Forced parameterization is a database level option that is disabled by default but can be enabled by running alter database command or from Management Studio database properties on options tab. When forced parameterization is enabled, any query that arrives at the database is implicitly parameterized. Forced parameterization can automatically parameterize many queries, but not all of them. For example, literals in a selects column list or certain query hints prevent forced parameterization from being able to parameterize. There are drawbacks with using forced parameterization which need to be considered, and it must be tested before implementing it in production. On the other hand, simple parameterization only implicitly parameterizes queries that match a relatively small number of very simple and strictly defined templates. Adding even a modest amount of complexity to your query blocks simple parameterization from implicitly parameterizing your query. Examples include query involving group by or subqueries, or using clauses like union or top. Simple parameterization is so limited in scope that you should assume that most of your workload will not benefit from it. Now, let's take an example where the queries sent to SQL are not being parameterized because the application uses inline literals to concatenate the parameter values. So to start with this example, we have a select statement that is being run in a loop where we are passing the manager ID in a loop with different manager ID values. If I run this particular block and execute it, we would see that the manager ID 3 has certain records from this table which are being displayed. The manager ID 1 and 2 did not have any corresponding records, so we do not see the results. Now, if we check the DMExec cache plans for the above batch, we should typically see multiple query plans for the same select statement where the manager ID is shown for each of the different values. In the results, we see that the select statement was executed by concatenating different values, and each of these plans refer to each and every execution of the query. The reason we saw multiple query plans for the above batch in the sys DMExec cache plans was because the select statement was not being parameterized. So, to address this problem and to parameterize the select query, here we we are basically passing the manager ID using an explicit parameter of manager ID. Now, before we execute this, we will first clear the proc cache. And I will now select this part. And as you shall see, we are using sp-execute-sql, where the above string, which is the select statement along with the manager ID for each iteration, is being executed 10 times. So these are the results. They are the same as they were for the previous batch. But if we now look at the sysdm exec cache plan again for the same batch, we will see that this time we only have a single cached plan used for the parameterized query. As you see from one of these columns, which is use counts, since the query was executed for 10 times, the use count for the same one cache plan is showing up as 10. This basically validates that the query is being parameterized, and this is one of the ways in which you can explicitly parameterize them. All right, getting back to the slide, we will now see how cache lookup works. The method that is used to look up things in the procedure cache depends on the type of the object. The database ID and object ID of a stored procedure, for example, are used to look up stored procedure plans. For ad hoc and prepared queries, the text of the query is pushed through a hash function. The hash function returns a value that is then referred to as the object ID of the SQL compile plan object. The database ID and the object ID aren't the only properties that must match the user's current environment for a plan to be reused. Other properties like user ID and language settings may be required to match as well. Any property of the cached object that must match in order for a lookup to succeed is referred to as a cache key. The cache keys for a plan are combined by another hash function to determine the bucket in the procedure cache where the plan will be stored. It is possible for multiple objects to be stored in the same cache bucket. SQL Server examines each item in that bucket to determine whether it is a proper match for the object it is looking for. Ideally, the number of objects should be fairly evenly distributed over the hash buckets, so that no single bucket grows to hold disproportionately high number of objects. If the number of objects in a hash bucket grows too large, the iteration over the list of objects in that bucket on every cache lookup can start to take more time, and the performance of the workload can suffer. We can examine the max and average chain length and overall cache hit ratios for the procedure cache stores by querying the sys.dmos memory cache hash tables DMV. Let's take a look at that. So to check on the bucket sizes in the hash tables for the procedure cache, We have this particular DMV, sysdmos, memory, cache, hash tables, and if you execute this query, you can particularly focus on the columns for max, the bucket's max length column, and the bucket's average scan hit length and miss length. In my case, because the server is not very busy and where the cache is not completely filled, these values may not be of particular interest to show to you, but you will need to focus primarily on these three columns to understand if there is one particular bucket which may have gotten inflated. Let me just highlight these specific columns. Again, the query below here is expected to show us the specific buckets. We are using a subquery where we find the bucket ID where the number of plans are greater than 30. And if we run this query, in my case, it may not return any results. But using this query, you can identify specific buckets which may have gotten inflated with many query plans and which may be a source of bottleneck during cache lookup. We will now be going back to the slide. So on this slide, we will be looking at what counters and what tools can help us understand the cache hit ratios and the cache miss ratios. There are several tools available which will log this information. When a cache plan lookup succeeds, it is referred to as a cache hit. This plan cache hit would typically show up on the performance monitor counter for plan cache cache hit ratio when it is adjusted upwards. It will also show up on a particular DMV called sysdm OS memory cache hash tables where the hits count column will be incremented. On the profiler trace, there will be a specific event called SP cache hit which will be generated. There is also another DMV for sysdm exec cache plans where the use count column will be incremented. On the other hand, when the plan is not found in the cache, you can also look up the performance monitor counter plan cache cache hit ratio, which will be adjusted downwards. The same DMV DMOS memory cache hash tables, which has a misses underscore count column, will be incremented. When there is a plan which cannot be found, the plan is typically generated and inserted into the cache. And when that happens, the profiler trace will show you an event called SP cache insert. There is also another performance monitor counter, SQL statistics, SQL compilations per second, which will be incremented. So as we see, to check the cache plan hit ratio, there are numerous places where one can look up the health of the procedure cache. Let's take a look at cached plan reuse. The procedure cache is a waste of memory if the plans in the cache never get reused. Therefore, it is important to ensure that the query plans are reused whenever possible. Numerous factors are taken into account to determine whether the plan can be reused. Factors such as text of the query because that determines the object ID derived when the hash function is applied. Slight variations can generate a different hash value, and the cache lookup may fail to find a match. Set options and environment and language settings need to match or be compatible as well. Sometimes subtle differences can prevent plan reuse. If you see multiple plans in cache for what appears to be the same query, you can determine the key differences between them by comparing sysdmexec plan attributes dynamic management function for the two specific plans. The plan attributes must match in order for reuse to occur and will have an isCache key column value of 1 in the dmexec plan attributes DMF. Let's take a look at a quick demo. So now let's take a look at this example where we are typically using the same select statements. We are using the same exact identical select statement, but the only difference is where the set option for unsigned nulls in one case is set to off, and in the other case, it is set to on. Now, if we go ahead and execute this query, let us clear up the procedure cache first. And if I now select both of these select queries and execute them, we can now check this particular DMF where we are looking for the above query itself. And if we now get to the results of this DMF, we will see that the set options for the first two plans, which is basically the same query being executed with unsigned nulls off and unsigned nulls on, the set options are with different values. So the above query basically tells us that the set options are different. Now we can actually check the dmexec plan attributes DMF, which takes a value for the plan handle. And so let me just copy the plan handle values from the previous results for these queries. And if I now execute the queries, we will see that the set option for the first query has a different value than the set option here for the other query. And now coming back to the slide, we will look at the ways to flush the procedure cache. The most common method of flushing the contents of the procedure cache is to run DBCC free proc cache. It is extended to remove a particular plan, or it can also be used to remove all cache entries associated with a specified resource pool. Certain commands like alter database, drop database, and closing a database through use of auto close database option and changes to SP configure options can also implicitly free up all or portions of the procedure cache. Starting SQL Server 2008, you can also selectively remove a specific plan from the cache using the plan handle or a SQL handle. You also have an option to clear all cache entries associated with a specified resource pool. We will now begin with a series of demos And to start with, we will look at the parameter sniffing issue. Parameter sniffing is a performance optimization that allows SQL Server to optimize the query plan for a particular parameter value that may be passed in for the initial compilation of the query. To better understand why this could be a useful feature, let us take an example. On this demo, we will be looking at the effects of parameter sniffing behavior. As you can see, we've chosen the AdventureWorks database and we've chosen a particular table called sales.customer. Now, if we run this particular query, which gives us the customer distribution and each of the territory IDs, you will notice that the territory ID 4 has most of the customers, while territory ID 2, on the other hand, has only a few dozen customers. To demonstrate the behavior, we will now create a stored proc which takes in the parameter value for territory ID, and it will then distribute, it will then show us the results based on the territory ID. Right. Now, to having created the stored proc, we will be calling the stored proc with two territory IDs. The first one will be 4, which has most of the customers. And we will then be calling territory ID 2, which has least of the customers. Before running the procedure cache, we would be calling the DBCC free proc cache both the times, which typically means that it will clear the compile plan each time before calling the stored proc. As you can see from the execution plan for both these queries, in the results pane, we basically have the territory ID 4 on top, query 1, and territory ID 2, which is the query 2, at the bottom. Now, in both of these cases, we have a different query plan. The reason is every time we invoke the procedure with a separate territory ID, SQL is able to sniff. It is able to look at the value for the territory ID being passed, and it creates a plan which is compatible or suitable for that territory ID. So in a sense, the parameter sniffing allows applications to get the most optimal plan based on the current value being passed. When we look at the execution plans where we were clearing the procedure cache, you will notice that the execution plans for territory ID 4 and territory ID 2 were different. The reason, of course, was because we had freed up the procedure cache. So invoking the stored procedure the second time got the SQL Server to compile a new plan, and thus there was a separate plan created. Having seen the effects of parameter sniffing, we know that parameter sniffing provides the query optimizer with the most detailed information possible so that the optimizer can select the fastest possible query plan for the current execution of a query. Most of the times, parameter sniffing results in much better query plans than you would get without it. Sometimes, though, it can cause problems. Come to think about it, there is always certain amount of tension between the procedure cache and the query optimizer. The procedure cache strives to ensure the plans are reused whenever possible, while the query optimizer wants to choose the most efficient plan for the current database conditions and the parameter values. Choosing an optimal plan for the immediate conditions requires a new query compilation. But compilation works against the procedure cache's goal of plan reuse. In most cases, rules built in SQL Server will strike a fine balance between these two competing needs. Occasionally, though, there could be problems. Let's take a look at the demo. So to demonstrate the problem with parameter sniffing, we will now be taking an example. The example is based in AdventureWorks again. We will now be creating a stored proc which gets us the product transaction history for a particular product ID. In the stored proc, we're basically passing in the product ID as input parameter, and inside the stored proc, we are basically returning the sum of quantity and the average actual cost for that specific product ID. So let's go ahead and create the stored proc. We will now look at an example where we call the stored proc with two separate product IDs, 843 and 847. Having run this stored procedure with the two values, you will see that the execution time for the first value, which was 843, took about 40 milliseconds, while the second stored procedure call passed with product ID 870 took about 116 milliseconds. If we now reverse the procedure calls where we are first calling the product ID 870 first and then calling 843, we will notice that the product ID for 843 took relatively more time than it did when the order was different. What this demonstrates is that the execution times for the subsequent procedure calls with different parameter values may see some latency. It is possible that reusing the query plan existing in the procedure cache may not be optimal for the current values being passed to the procedure. If you do identify parameter sniffing, there are multiple ways to deal with it. The most common and efficient way to deal with it is to use with recompile query hint. There are other ways of dealing with parameter sniffing, using optimize for hint, using local variables and stored procedures, or you could also use plan guides and provide the same hints. In the interest of time, we will look at the first option where we attempt to resolve a parameter sniffing problem that we had just looked at. We will try to resolve the same issue using the with recompile option. To start with this example, we are using the same demo that we used earlier to demonstrate the problem with parameter sniffing. However, this time the stored procedure we had used earlier has a small change. The select statement in the stored procedure will now have the option recompile appended to itself. So let us now create this stored proc. And what we will see when we execute these two stored procedure calls is that each time this store procedure is called with whichever value, the query plans will not be reused. It will be generated each time this query is run as part of the stored procedure. So in this case, if we look at the two times that we've called the stored procedure, it has basically generated a new query plan, which is optimal for that specific value. If we go back and now reverse the order, we would still see the same behavior. Irrespective of the values being passed, the query plans for the select will not be reused. It will pick up and generate a new query plan each time this stored procedure is called. The other, we will not be going through the entire demo, but I can show you the stored procedure text where you may include the optimize for hint. So for example, in this case, we have chosen the product ID of 870 as a value that SQL will use to generate a new query plan. The other option available would be to use local variables in a stored procedure. In this stored procedure definition, you would see that we are now declaring a local variable for the product ID. So the input value that comes while executing the stored procedure is first assigned to this local variable, and that local variable is used in the select statement, thus negating the behavior of parameter sniffing. I hope that demo on the parameter sniffing was useful. Now coming back to this slide, there could be issues related to high compilation, which can drive the CPU utilization and cause poor performance. When if you run into high CPU issues, and if you've ruled out top CPU queries to be a problem, you can look at performance monitor counters for object plans, SQL plans, instances of SQL Server plan cache hit ratio. If you see the plan cache hit ratio to be consistently lower than 80%, you can further then confirm the number of batches that may be coming to the SQL Server and how many of those batches are being compiled. To do that, you can look at the performance monitor SQL statistics batch request per second, and you can compare the ratio of batch requests to compilations per second. If you find a high ratio of batch requests that are being compiled, compilations could be your problem. Another location where you can identify if compilations is a problem is by looking up the sysdm exec request DMV, where the wait type will show up as resource semaphore query compile. These different tools may help you confirm if high compilations is a problem. The most effective ways to increase plan reuse rate would be to explicitly parameterize the queries from the application itself. Another option is to test and turn on the force parameterization database option. Another way is to make sure that tables referenced in the queries are schema qualified if there are many different users in a database all running the same query. If you have a high CPU issue, the first task is to determine whether CPU cycles are being spent on query execution. Remember that you can use DM exec query stats to find expensive queries. If the CPU time is not being spent on query execution, the next most common cause is excessive query compilation, as we had just discussed. If the plan cache hit ratio is high and you do not feel that the query compile time is the cause of the problem, you can run this specific query to check to see whether an excessively long hash chain is slowing down cache lookups for one of your most frequently executed queries. If you see this problem, you can query DMExec cache plans DMV to find buckets that are overpopulated. If the plans in this bucket are variations of the same query, you will need to find a way to explicitly parameterize the query or rewrite the query so that the query can be implicitly parameterized and thus will not have multiple plans in the cache. Let us now take a look at the aspect of memory pressure caused by procedure cache. If the procedure cache grows large enough, it can deprive other caches in SQL Server of memory that could be used to speed up critical operations. It is possible to get into a situation where new plans are being inserted into the cache at a faster rate than the resource monitor can remove them. You can tell whether this is the case by checking to see whether the size of one of the procedure cache stores significantly exceeds the limits. The best solution to this problem is to prevent flooding of the procedure cache with low-value plans that are rarely or never used. You can consider forced parameterization after testing or modifying the application to explicitly parameterize its high-volume queries. Let's take a look at one aspect of memory pressure caused by procedure cache. If the procedure cache grows large enough, it can deprive other caches in the SQL Server of memory that could be used to speed up critical operations. It is possible to get into a situation where new plans are being inserted into the cache at a faster rate than the resource monitor can remove them. You can tell whether this is the case by checking to see whether the size of one of the procedure cache stores significantly exceeds the limits. The best solution to this problem is to prevent flooding of the procedure cache with low-value plans that are rarely or never used. Consider forced parameterization after testing or modify the application to explicitly parameterize its high-volume queries. On this slide, we will be taking a demo of a cursor leak problem. Sometimes a coding error can result in a user application opening cursors and forgetting to close them. If a cursor leak goes on long enough, eventually the procedure cache will consume the entire SQL buffer pool and simple operations will begin to fail with out-of-memory or 701 error messages. An out-of-memory condition can be due to many things, but you can rule out this possibility by running the query in the demo. All right, in this simple example demo of a cursor leak, we will first be creating a table with a single column int and the batch below where we will be executing spcursor open for a select one 10,000 times in a loop. So let's begin with creating the table first. I believe it was already there. And we will now run the same batch. While this batch is running, if I switch to the other query window and execute this query, which is basically querying the DMVs relevant to help us understand the cursor leak situation. From this output, you will see that the select one, which was used by the SP cursor open, has a use count of approximately 10,000 times. And we also get to see the size of these cursors. So this is one way of confirming if the cursors are being leaked. Just wanted to remind everyone that I will be sharing the demos as part of the video blog itself. So these scripts can be used where applicable. And here I've given an MSDN link which you can refer for details. That ends this two-part series on procedure cache. Please feel free to post your questions, feedback, and suggestions. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day ahead.